All right, welcome back to another edition. Yeah, welcome back to another edition of Just Kicking It. My man Brandon is moving to Texas, so you know I had to get my compadre to fill in for me. They call him Double D, David Dudley. Thank you for coming on, another Manchester United fan. So y'all know that what this is gonna be about today already. So we get a lot of listeners like, man, y'all already talking about the EPL. This is gonna be not even more EPL, but more Manchester United discussion. But it'll be fun. But Double D, thank you for filling in, man.
Absolutely, man. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for asking me to be on. And shout out to Brandon as well. I always like having him here as well. And also both of you, man.
Yeah, he's moving down your way, man. So.
Hopefully we can hook up sometime too. Yeah, be closer now, so I'll be able to check him out.
Yeah, man. So go ahead, man. We was just jumping into a general conversation, man. We was talking about before we started talking about international players playing in these friendly tournaments. I guess they are now. What is it called? Like the European Cup or Invitational or something.
I think. And then it's tiered out too. Or something like that.
Yeah, and it's tiered out too. So like, if you come in last in your group, you fall down to like the second level of this tournament. So it's in three tiers. So right. There's four groups in each tier. And if you come in last, or maybe even the last two, or maybe I forgot what it was, you fall down to the lower group. But if you're in the top one in that undergroup, the top two people, I think they go up into the other groups.
So kind of mixing it between like
a deregulation.
Look, also, somewhat double elimination format. Yeah, agree as well. Yeah.
So you're talking about young players developing. So you're thinking about, you're saying somebody like a Sané maybe, where he'll go play in Germany, and he needs that little bit of.
See, that tournament is cool because at the only real dilemma with those tournaments like that, where it's not really for any kind of prestigious award, is injury, and so it's always like that. Competition between the clubs and also the international associations about how badly do you need outside players that are established. So we're talking about like people that are in their prime, like, you know, saying like between 24 and 28, do they really need to be in a tournament that doesn't even count towards their overall legacy? Because you're not going to look at that and be like, okay, well, look at what Cristiano Ronaldo did in the Nations Cup. He did great in that. He was all-time leading scorer in the Nations Cup. But it's like the Nations Cup. What is that?
I had to explain it to you. Like, what's going on?
You know what I mean? Like, nobody cares about that. You're talking about, like, World Cup, you know what I'm saying, Euros, Copa America, stuff like that. Then a club could, because bad stuff could happen, so a club could wrap their mind around, all right, we lost our star player to a severe injury. Because speaking of severe injury, as far as I was going to say, like, I didn't want to say broken leg as far as put that mojo out there, but this happened. Man, Brazil World Cup 2014, terrible play by the Colombian cap, I forget his name, but ended up injuring Neymar in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And he had a couple of bruised vertebrae. So I'm talking about a serious injury because of the play. And I think he was with Barcelona still at that time. But as Barcelona, you're like, he was at the World Cup,
right? I mean, I can't. But if he was at the, you know, the Nations League, even though he's not
the Toyota Invitational,
yeah, the Toyota Invitational.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, God dang. I mean, that's cool. Brazil was there. I know you all trying to like raise some money because it's all about money. Yeah, so you want to have him there, but it's like, God dang, he got.
I mean, does it put the European players at a disadvantage with this comparatively to other nations with their way they do it? Like, particularly, it seemed like they are like when Suarez and like Messi and all of them go over for theirs, they be taking private jets, they over there chilling, partying. Yeah. I think they playing like 30, 40 minutes. They lounging over there.
Yeah,
but it seemed like that Nations legit. League, they be like, no, we own it.
I think that's legit, bro. I think that's legit. I think that's kind of a
because Messi had everybody on his plane. People in other countries, everybody flying on Messi plane.
I think that's like culturally too, because when you were a star player for a South American country, I think you probably get a little more. You probably get the most rock star treatment of any international star. You know what I mean?
Maybe
Italy would rival the type of preferential, like the stuff that we don't see as just regular people, the type of preferential treatment that you would get behind the scenes as far as, yeah, man, you know, we, the rest of the team showed up in, you know, saying the regular, bus. You know, bus. This cat for real got dropped off in a helicopter. Right. You know what I mean? Like, wow.
And it was, okay. And it was on Nate Dime.
Yeah. The Air Force, like, you know, escorting them type thing. And the Argentinian Air Force, like, because that's Lionel Messi, you know?
Yeah.
So they got a couple of paratroopers came in with him and all that kind of stuff. Like, they would do that for him. But for the other cat, like, you know, they're not getting that. The rest of the team. But that's just how it is. But Europe's not going to get that at all.
Man, rest in peace to Maradona, man. We didn't talk about this today. He had passed by the time we had the last show.
Yeah, bro.
Rest in peace to Maradona, man. Like, man, if anybody gets a chance, watch that documentary. It really is crazy to even see. Like, this dude was living.
I guess,
who would he be comparative to in American sports, you think Maradona would be? Like, for people that, like, because we have a lot of people that listen that trying to get into it. Like, who would he be?
Okay.
I'm trying to think who he would be. It's kind of hard because
it's very difficult.
It's not, I don't know, one if a person. Player in it's the U.S. could get away with what he got away with.
It's not one person. So
he's an amalgamation of a couple people, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's not one person. So, like, I'm going to start off with, and this is not, I'm going to start off with this person only to get into the American mindset. Start off with Dennis Rodman.
I was thinking Dennis Rodman.
That doesn't even at all really describe him because he wasn't a Dennis Rodman type of player at all. You know what I mean? Like, but his lifestyle was kind of like that. But,
yeah, he got an illegitimate son that he didn't start claiming to like 5 years before he died. Like, and then he was blatantly like, that ain't my kid. Like on some, you know, like, hey, like Michael Jackson, Billy Jean. Billy,
hey, bro. Hey.
They was like, no, we got the son. Blood test. They you that it's your kid.
That ain't
no,
it's my not. Son. No, it's nah, not. Man, nah.
So
nah,
is he, and moving in Maradona, is Messi always going to live in his shadow for Argentinian players?
I think, this is just me personally, man, I think all players will, but I think it just got worse with Messi because he happened to be short and left-footed. And that's really what it is, because other than that, and this is one thing I saw about Maradona real quick, as far as just personally, I'm just lucky to say that I was able to actually watch him play, not just watch highlights, because that's a big difference. Like, watching people play and watching highlights are two different things in any sport.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? So, and they were two different players. They just had similar statures, but like the roles that they did, and I'm not saying that to say that Maradona was better than Messi. They just did two different things. You know what I mean? Like, that's...
Could he even exist in this game, though, is a question I was thinking about, like, looking
at... Oh, absolutely.
Okay, you think he'd even be better now? Like, if he was in this?
Absolutely, because, you know, one thing I forgot, and I happened to be watching a... shout out to YouTube. I was watching an older game, because I was checking out... matter of fact, just to let people at home know what I was looking at, a game from the 1982 World Cup, where Argentina played Italy, and Italy won in that World Cup. And the reason I was watching, because I wanted to see the matchup between the Italian defender, his name is Claudio Gentile, and Diego Maradona, because he was what they call man-marking individually.
Right, but normally most people didn't man-mark Maradona, though.
Right, and he was able to do that. And so I was like, well, let me just check it out, see what happened. And so I just wanted to look at it. And the game back then was... It was different, man. Like, they were able to do a lot more rough stuff.
Okay.
That was like not just like grabbing rough, like really messing with people's like legs and stuff like that, rough, to where they were able to do a lot more back then that you cannot do now. So,
So is Messi gonna live in his shadow because he doesn't have a World Cup? Is it in Argentinian mind?
I think so. And that's kind of going into what we were saying about how it could be different as far as like how the South American players can get treated like stars so much for their pro teams. Because look at James Rodriguez, right? So James Rodriguez will always be almost deified as far as like when it comes to playing for Colombia, whereas for his club teams, it might be kind of like hit or miss, depending on what the system is, you know what I mean? Which that's with any player. But that's just the way it's built in the psyche, down, you know what I mean? Like, it's a big thing. And it's like, I guess a big part of like what's in their mindsets, like when they're watching it too, it's like, one of us made it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that mindset. And that, of course, you know, permeates a lot of things other than sports. And it's, you see one of you that made it. And so that's going to, and Maradona is the perfect symbol of that. You know what I mean? Like,
Is Messi a thing of like, he's had the kit. I mean, I guess the Maradona carry teams too, but I feel like, especially with the Argentinian teams we've seen the last few World Cups, I feel like he's carried them, like where it's like, he got five men on him. He's out there trying to dribble on the back end, trying to make something happen. And it is like, we just going to stop Messi. Like, you know, if we stop him, Argentina shut down. We can nick in one goal and we can roll out.
Yeah, I think that 2014, I feel like that was a good example of that, because I feel like that was where he played the best.
And that's when they lost to Germany, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was probably like he played the best and that team was built the best. Because one thing that I'll say with that team too, and I said that at the time, not just in hindsight, because I like Messi. I'm not a Messi hater, but I was a big fan of Javier Mascherano on that team. Like, he was a defensive midfielder on that team. And a lot of that stuff was built around him. And I felt like that was a good thing. And I thought that's what a lot of that success came from. And in the previous World Cups, it wasn't like that. And I think that's where it was like, just comparing, because it'll always be where you'll see the Barcelona success for Messi compared to the lack of success for Argentina comparatively. Mm-hmm. And a big thing with that is the team behind him. And when you look at the Barcelona team, man, like, that team had behind him, like, the core of that team in the middle was maybe the best trio of midfielders ever, as far as Busquets, Javi, and Iniesta. So you got that. And so, like, that's why when he goes to Argentina, he doesn't have that. So it's going to be a different setup. And so it's not really fair to...
Are the South American teams at a disadvantage more now? Because of the, we talked about this before, but with the expat setup, a lot of them going into Europe and like snatching them up from Brazil at 5 years old, saying, well, we'll make you a Portuguese citizen and take care of your family because we saw you in the favelas doing your thing.
Right,
now
right,
you ain't right. playing for Colombia no more. Right, you playing right, for right, Spain right, right. or you playing for, you know, I mean, whoever, you know, over there.
I think that does put them at a disadvantage. I think it, like, for the soccer identity-wise, because, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, as a kid, you're always going to look at the people that succeeded before you. So if what you're seeing from the people that you want to emulate is, okay, we need to get out of here. You know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, you get it.
So after, to a degree, you start looking at just those other countries in general. It's like, okay.
That's what the U.S. is doing with Mexico, it seems like, right now, too, on the low. I wouldn't be surprised 5 to 10 years from now, Mexico kind of having a teeter off a little bit in CONCACAF because of U.S. Like, you half their team is all, that's a like, big expat.
Fight. That's a big fight, though. That's funny you say that, too, because that's, like, a huge – that's one of the – that's, like, almost, like – symbolizes the fight over the entire world. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, because there's so many Mexicans born in America, so they have dual citizenship. You know what I mean? So it's like, I can play for both. Mm-hmm. And both,
how many players do that? How many players would do that where they'll play for Mexico and they were born here? Like, what is the percentage you think on that team that?
And this is the big thing, because, like, it's talking about, like, recently. To answer your question real quick, I'll say it's probably, it might be in favor. I think it's in favor of Mexico, and I think it's probably 60-40.
Because it's really tough. So 60% of them are born in the U.S. but play for Mexico?
Well, not on the current team. I'm saying people in that situation.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I think out of 10 people that – or in that situation, I think 6 of them going for Team Mexico. Man.
But it's getting more even though now.
I don't think so. I think it's going more for. I think that's what I'm saying. I think it's going more for Mexico now.
Oh, like, really? I was thinking because I've seen a lot of Mexican players on the team now, just as much as like Africans and like, you know, things like that. Like, I was like, man, I was looking at some of the names and I was like, Garcia, you know, like.
because it's because it, man, I don't know people's names, but it was like four players like here recently where that was like a real big thing for, because they were young. Mm-hmm. Talking about like, you know, between 17 and 19, whatever. And three of those four ended up going with
the Mexican national team.
With Mexico, right? So that's what I'm saying. Like, but in a big thing of it, like, because they had like different interviews after, as far as like talking about their decisions and like looking at some of the similarities in their comments. Man, a big thing with it was, because I mentioned this on the previous show, we were talking about this. They were talking about the overall culture of what the team is. And that's when I'm like, you got to think about what the culture of soccer is in the U.S. Because that's what they're saying. It's like, they're like, man, hey, man, I don't want to be part of this, you know what I'm saying, this suburban soccer culture. Mm-hmm. I don't want that, you know, because it's kind of a, it's not to the level to where it's an elitist sport.
It's damn near, you know, he's getting close though. But it's to some, like some tennis and golf situation.
And that's where I think they're like, man, I'm not with that. You know what I mean? And I want a more, you know what I'm saying, organic and, you know what I'm saying, like earthy people for real, like crying if we lose.
Europe on that though? Like they snatching up, putting you in a club camp, you know, academy at like 6 or 7. So isn't it kind of what the U.S. is doing, trying to be similar to that European system? Or you think it doesn't work over here because you don't have the group of people to kind of do that?
Man, that's a good lane to go down. I think the difference is, man, I'm glad that you said that, because I think the difference is that the dynamics and the difference between those countries, right? Not to say that continent, because of course, Africa is not a continent. Africa is a collection of different countries. Mm-hmm. And like, so the countries of Europe that have various connections with the countries of Africa, they get those people young. But it's also coming from a place where soccer is big in Europe and soccer is big in the continent of Africa. So it's like, there's no cultural
competition too.
You know what I mean? Like, whereas you're looking at the U.S. to Mexico. Soccer is big in Mexico. Soccer is not so big in the United States. So it's like, oh, okay, I see what this is. You just really want to use me to boost the prestige of this sport in the U.S., but you don't want to make it about me as a person. No, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of like where it's coming from there, because they have an option to where I can still get the individual success that I want to attain without having to, I don't want to say sell out, because that's not, you know what I'm saying?
Or being
without having to compromise my cultural identity. You know what I mean? So they could have both. Whereas those kids that are in those situations that are going to those European teams so young, it's an economic thing. So it's like soccer culturally, they have the same opportunity where they're at, but from the economic standpoint, are you going to have it? And the answer is no. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's always interesting to me, because it seems like
that's deep
expats though. Yeah, like it, but it's like interesting because the U.S. and I think Canada's on the rise too, on the low. You know what I'm saying? Like that. I don't think people are sleeping on what Canada's got going on.
Shout out to Davies, bro.
That's what I'm saying. They got Davies. They got a couple other brothers up there too.
I wish he was American.
He was. He is though. He could have played for either.
Oh, he had option?
Yeah, he played for Canada. He decided on Canada. I believe he was born. Was he born in like Minnesota or something? It was somewhere.
It was like a border situation.
Yeah. And he went, and the parents ended up moving. I think his parents were in college or something, ended up moving to Canada.
Gotcha.
He ended up going with them. But if you look at it, like a lot of the U.S.
Because him and Yellen together, dude, ooh, that would have been nasty.
I don't even know if Yellen's going to make the squad on the low. Think about it.
He might not be desked out. But they play opposite sides, don't they?
Yeah, but Yellen's not even playing for Newcastle right now.
Oh, he's banged up.
You got to think about, and they got all 19-year-olds back there, and they developing. I mean, Dest is back there. Oh, I mean, Dest is the first, just became the first U.S. player to score in a La Liga game.
Well, we have a long ways to go, but I think he's a shoe-in to pencil him in as a starter.
Tomorrow, Dest?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Oh, I think Dest. I think Dest is.
Honestly, stuff can happen, but
I think Dest is on your poster. I think he's bigger than what you think.
Okay, I got you.
I think he's on your poster. Like the poster for the U.S. soccer
team. He on some Danny Alves, Marcelo type stuff?
Yeah, the poster is Des.
I can see that.
McKinney, Christian Pulisic, and and maybe Sargent. That's your U.S.
That other spot going to be a toss up. The other spot a toss up because it's going to be out of Sargent, Reyna, and
Ooh, you know what? Sargent got to go. Reyna, that's because Reyna got a spot even if he sucked because his daddy. My bad, Sergeant. Yeah, hey, you know what? Sergeant would be the dude sitting on the sideline holding the ball, like behind them four.
Yeah.
He like the dude holding the ball in the background. That's Sergeant.
Right, right. Or running in the background, like trying to catch up with the rest of them. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not in the front. No, you're right. It's Raina. It's Raina.
No. No, sir. No, sir.
Even though Sergeant's balling at Bremen, though. But I mean, I think the problem is someone like a Sergeant, where he won't be at the top, is that he's not playing for a high profile team. He's playing for Bremen, he needs to be out there putting up 35 goals.
He got to be doing some Erling Haaland type stuff. I got you.
Yep. He's going to have to.
And that's what I'm saying, like, as far as like the issue with the U.S., because this is, I believe, the best.
Yeah, we can jump into that, man. That's
the best generation of the U.S. team.
They haven't proven it yet, but talent-wise, it's undoubtable.
Or potential-wise, let me say that. Potential-wise, I'll say that. And not even just potential, but just potential with actual results, like the mixture of the two, because they're proving it. But I just think like it's so many that kind of do similar things. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you run into that too. So
yeah, because I mean, becomes I look at it like McKinney, when he signed in Juve, remember we talked about it before, and we was like, oh man, I don't know. He ain't gonna get no playing time. And he's out there starting.
Balling. They actually are depending on him. Yeah. He's actually This isn't a topic for today, but this is just a quick shout out because we're going to get to this team later, but he's in the role. He's more in a role that Arturo Vidal was in, but he's making a similar role to what they actually had Paul Pogba doing. That's why I'm bringing that up.
Yeah.
He's like, they have him in a Pogba type role, like to where that's how much they think about him.
Which is crazy. The thing about, we thought he was going to ride the bench. And maybe he knew something we didn't, because he was already starting at Mancella Glaba or whatever before.
But the thing with it was who they had. That's why I was saying that. I was like,
is Diabala hurt? Is Diabala hurt?
Yeah. I guess he's always kind of hurt. That may be why they got him, because
he's like, playing in Diabala's spot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's not playing. You know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's playing in Diabala's spot. Yeah, because
so they're trusting him with a lot of responsibility, man. Like, so it's, and he's young too. Yeah. It ain't like
these cats under 25, man. All of them under 25.
And this ain't even like a mid level Serie A squad. This is like
he in Champions League scoring. He's scored in Champions League.
Oh, bro, he's when they're resting. When you a starter and they resting you for certain games, that's when you know that you know what I'm saying? Like, so the times that he's not starting, it ain't because he's nicked up or whatever.
Ronaldo's not starting either. Like, Ronaldo's not starting either. Yeah, all the Gunners is sitting there chilling. Bro.
McKinney's, and that's what this says, talking about Team USA as well. Mm-hmm. This the only thing that I wish that they do win, because that's, I think for me, that's like the... The formation is going to be the 4-2-3-1 formation everybody uses. They're going to use that.
Probably. Oh, you think that's what they're going to put Pulisic up front?
Put Pulisic on the left wing. Oh. Put Reyna in the middle and put McKinney on the right. Because the way they do it, because Reyna's a little slicker with dribbling and McKinney's a little
Why don't you put him behind and then put Sargent up front maybe and put Reyna on that four, that back?
I would do that too, but I wouldn't put Reyna on the outside. I'll put Reyna in the middle because McKinney can hold up because he has the athleticism to hold up on the outside, but I don't think Reyna can. It takes away from his offense too much. So,
or is Pulisic going to be in the middle because of marketing? You're going to have to put him up front, like just because it's like, he's the marquee guy.
It's funny you say that too, bro. It's funny you say
like,
that.
Like, he may come in and think like, "Are you gonna play on the left?" Nah, I'm not playing on the left. I'm playing in the middle.
Tournament it was. I forget. Yeah, I can't remember what tournament it was, but it, so it was like one of his first times playing where they would try to pub him here, and they tried to do that. And it's like, it's not his position. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't comfortable in that position as far as on the field.
Yeah.
But they did that exact thing. They tried to play him as that situational attacking midfield guy to create everything. And it's like, just to talk, kind of talk about Maradona for a second, too. Yeah. Like, that position, and also talk about Pele, that position itself really is not a – the role of that is not to be a superstar. It's just Pele made it seem like that because he was so good. So that's that really – that got people's minds. Like, so they saw, like, him wearing a number 10, and that's the spot he played. And so, like, this was, like, the advent of people recording games.
Mm-hmm.
The first time ever. So, you know, people are watching this like, oh, okay, wow, wow.
And so you think that basically Pele took it to a level like and made the position not necessarily bigger, but different than what it really is intended for. Because they were like, oh, I want to be Pele playing in the up front in the middle.
Right. It's an important position, but it doesn't necessarily mean that your superstar player has to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that messes up a lot of people to where they sometimes either get forced in that position, or they themselves try to force themselves there. When just play on the outside, if you just Cristiano Ronaldo, right? Like, he actually can play in the middle because he's done it before. That was his breakout season, but he settled in on, you know what, I can be my best on the left wing, and then just cutting it. You know what I'm saying? Like, just. And that's kind of like what Pulisic is. It's like, he didn't say that, but I'm saying, like, they tried to do what you're talking about.
Yeah.
They tried to put him in the middle, make him the star man. But it's like, you could be the star somewhere else, you know. But.
Yeah, because all about who's going to put him in the back of the net. That's who's going to be the star, you know what I'm saying? Like, but you, like, that's interesting you said that, the center forward.
Marcelo. Position. Marcelo's a star. He plays left back.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. So let's jump into this. Let's jump into some EPL talk, man, before we get to this top 25. Right. So we, as people already know, me and Double D are Manchester right United God fans. This week, or I say the last few weeks, I wouldn't just say this week. It's like being on heroin. I feel like being a Manchester United fan. Like, you looking for that high again.
It's a mixture of drugs. It's a
it's a cocktail of stuff.
It's just one, man. It's not just one. It just, like you said, because you get that itch, because that's the whole thing. So, man, as soon as you like, you know what, man, I'm done with them, because they send me on this roller coaster.
And then they'll go pop done. Three on West Ham in like 10 minutes, and you like, damn,
or beat
okay.
PSG. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, what? Whoa. Y'all beat PSG?
And dominated PSG. Wow. Not just beat them, dominated them.
So it's like, and even, you know what? What's so funny too, because you beat them in Paris, and on the return game,
you should have
even
them.
Though we lost, that really was, you know what I mean? Like, that was a well-played game to an extent. You know,
yeah.
I think it came unglued in the second half.
Especially after the red card.
Right. That's it. Overall, though, we did all right. And I'm just saying that in regards to what they did against
Leipzig,
Beşiktaş in Istanbul, and what they did against Leipzig.
And my thing is, with Istanbul, all we had to do was tie them in that game that we lost. All we needed was to tie that, we'd be through.
But the goals they gave up were so bad. And that's what I'm saying. The defense was so bad on those plays.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some kind of way, Paul Pogba becomes the scapegoat.
The goat. I agree. You know what I mean? But he's also playing into it as well. He's not helping it out, and his agent's not.
It's the Arsenal game. The agent really is the. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah,
is the agent. But that Arsenal game, which is so crazy, because he actually played well in that game. It's just. Tactically, which Ole Gunnar Solskjaer should have learned from that, because they use a 3-4-3 in that, and they kept messing us over on the flanks, and that's how he ended up, you know, getting beat by Bellerin and tripping him for the penalty, right? So what does he do? Okay, I'm going to use a system against Leipzig when all we need to do is tie, where I'm not going to be strong on the outside You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to be weak on the flanks. Why are you weak on the flanks against a team that attacks down the flanks?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, it's just, and like now.
That's my rapper right now.
Yeah, no, and then we tie Man City this weekend. I mean, I'm fine with it. Whatever.
Well, yeah, the frustration there being is like, okay, because the way y'all play here is like, oh, that's how y'all had to do the other day.
Yeah. I would have took the an ass kicking from Man City over that game. I would have took that 3-2 loss to Man City there then and took the tie with Leipzig easier because I figured we could figure out a way back into the EPL. Yes. And now we're in the bum Europa League. And I mean it's fine. I mean we could play our way back into Champions League potentially if we don't make it. But it's like being in NIT. You don't know what's gonna happen. You know,
it's demoralizing.
Yeah, and I think it's more demoralized when you fall down from the Champions League to there, and I wonder if you I need to look up statistically how many teams have won it when they fell down than if they just entered the Europa in the group stage.
Right.
Or even to the semifinals. Even to the semifinals. Like how many have made it?
I bet you would find like those teams that qualify their way up. They have a distinct advantage over those other teams.
Yeah, probably. I agree. Yeah, like. You look at like last year, we dominated Club Brugge last year, like dominated them. They fell down from the from Champions League.
Right.
And we dominated.
Look at the teams that gave us problems, like Copenhagen, they were in Europa from the get-go.
Beginning, they was fighting in there. Sevilla was fighting in there. I mean, those teams
there's a couple other teams like where we had some rough games.
Yeah, like I think Dynamo Kiev, I think, was one that gave us some issues.
Some close games, yeah. But they had been in it, like you're saying. And I think there is something to say about that because there's a certain, particularly with the circumstances with Man United, because the whole drama of the end of the season, the scramble just to qualify for Champions League.
Yep.
And of course, the whole big thing was because as Man United fans, we were thinking that was going to help boost us to sign
Sancho,
and then
Upamecano. We thought we were just the floodgates was opening up. And no. And like, you know what I thought about talent. Though? I think there is a way that a Champions League team does do well in falling down is when they play well to get to the third spot to qualify to make sure they can get some kind of can keep
them going. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Or like you were in the fourth spot and you had to win that game to get in the third.
Yeah, I got you. I think those teams
are also a little bit hungrier too. It's like, man, we was finna not be playing at all. And we qualified our way still to keep our game. I bet you those teams play better too.
The hope too is that, man, but that's shaky with Man United is, I'm not going to say that's going to be their case, but the hope too being with a team in that situation like a Man United is that, like Sevilla last year, is that when you get either knocked down to Europa or you're already in Europa from the previous, you know, league that, you also view it as, you know what? And Arsenal was in a situation too. You know what?
Got blown out by Olympicos or something.
Team. It was Olympicos. Yeah. But if we win this, we automatically qualify for Champions League. So when those teams that are usually Champions League teams view Europa as a pathway back into Champions League, then that's when you see like they play really well in it, as opposed to just them being like, well, let's just sit tight and do what we can and try to stay in it, but let's mainly just use our domestic league as our pathway.
And
back
I guarantee you, we're thinking domestic league.
Right.
And you got to think, it's some dope teams down there in Europa on the low.
Yeah, that's it. Just seems look, like a demotion, but
Spurs are down there. Tottenham's down there.
They never won it. Man United have never won Europa. So this
they've
is
never won Europa.
Never. So this is an opportunity to actually win something. That was the whole big thing when last they were year. In the you know.
Okay, so I thought we had won it back in maybe 2000 something. Okay, dang. Okay.
But also keep in mind they changed names and stuff.
Right. So, okay. You know. So it was when it was whatever that was before that, like the Euro Cup or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I forgot what it was. I think like Cup Winners Cup or something.
Yeah. Like they changed the name. It's pretty fairly new name.
It's like it is from the from this century.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's very new then. So it's very the name change is very new. So and they're making a third level up too. They're making a third level up too.
I don't like that, man.
So, like, if you're in third place of Europa, you fall down to this other third cup.
Oh, okay, okay. They're doing that. I was talking about the other thing. Okay. Yeah.
No, no, no. So, it's going to be Champions League, Europa, and then whatever this other league is below it.
That's, you know, I like that.
And it's for smaller clubs. It's for smaller clubs in some of these countries, you know. You know, that don't get a chance. Like, they got to play for every, they got 15 games to qualify for Europa. After they qualify for their league, then they got to play, like, the qualifying rounds to get in there. And that's, like, 15 games to even get to the group stage.
This is why I like it, too, because I like it because that's basically – well, a couple of reasons. They don't have college sports like how we have it here in the States. So that's kind of – that's their college level. That's their amateur level. So – even it's semi, it's their pro, but you know what I'm saying? So that's giving those young players a chance to develop because that's the way it goes. They do good for those small teams and get picked up by big teams. So that gives them a, you know, more exposure. Mm-hmm. Also gives them more money because they get paid by the game.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They don't get no guarantee, whatever, whatever. So that's cool. And those TV, games are probably going to be cheap.
And
those
TV games, rights.
And those teams get money off the TV rights. Mm-hmm. And the fans can go because the game probably going to be with like $2-3.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I mean, you're going to have somebody like Kiev, you know, playing against, you know, Bologna or something down there. It's like,
on
okay.
a Tuesday afternoon. You
okay.
Know what I mean?
Like, I'll go. They can't charge,
no, you know, $50-60. It's going to have to be something reasonable. Yeah. To where, okay, I'll check it out.
So, if staying in Champions League, what do you think so far? Like, who do you think is going to win this from who's kind of –
man,
settled
dude,
out.
It's
I guess we have to wait. This week, is it this week? Are they announced? This week is the week they announced the groupings for both. I mean, the knockout rounds.
That
I
early?
Think.
I thought they don't do that until like February.
Oh, they don't. Okay, I thought they did it before the new year. And but you don't
they
play
may,
until February.
Bro. They may. I thought it was like they did it like right before it starts going.
Oh, maybe that's
they
true.
Know
they
the,
might do it in January.
They know the dates of the games, but they don't. Because as far as you know, you gotta have travel arrangements and all that. But they don't know. I don't think they know like who they play.
Yeah, because they got Manchester United is favored to win the Europa already, like gambling wise. And I was like,
I'll circle back to that in a second.
I was
to
like,
that.
Not with Spurs there, not that. With Spurs there, and they knocked us
I
off 6-1.
I
want to
comment on that, and let me look at the rest of this of these qualifiers because I was looking at it earlier before we got on the call to figure out like who probably will make it out because there were some pretty good teams that made it out and. Let me see who is in it. Because I think Man City, they look good. I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. Who really look good to me and is I'm jealous of them as a Man United fan is Chelsea, bro. I really like how
Chelsea lost the other day, though.
Good, though. Yeah, but they look good.
Yeah, they do
you know
look good.
Like,
and they got firepower, man.
And for a tournament like this, so you're looking at like a tournament like Champions League where it's all about star power because you're coming up against teams that's built the same way that you are and not teams that are like, you know, like just built to counterattack and all that kind of stuff. They're built to take it to you. So it's like.
Yeah, I mean, so this is what it is for people that want to know, just going forward, who's all in there. Bayern Munich, Atletico comes out of Group A. Group B is Real Madrid, which is I'm surprised this went down like this. Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Inter group,
yeah.
That was the second
and look,
group.
Inter
of
didn't
death.
Even
that was the second
I didn't even
group
know. I didn't realize Inter didn't even qualify for Europa.
Oh, you have to actually. Oh, okay. I didn't know. I thought you automatically went to Europa.
No, if you
oh,
got to be wow. in third place. That's why. Wow. That's why I was saying if you thought like if you were a team that like a Shakhtar Donetsk that's going to Europa from their group, they fought to get there. So they're going to come out a little bit better in Europa is what I'm saying. Yeah. They fought to get to that third spot.
I see what you're saying. And to me personally, bro, I would have favored Shakhtar because I actually just happened to watch that game mm-hmm. where they needed that win. But they ended up tying.
Shakhtar needed that tie to go into Europa.
To third place? Yeah, okay. They look good in that game, though. I really wanted them to win that game, but, you know, it didn't happen.
Yeah, we
Shakhtar
got
Shakhtar look really good, though.
So then we got Man City and Porto in Group C. Group
I wanted
D,
to watch that Man City-Porto game because I didn't watch Porto play, but Porto must be good because to get
and
second in that
we
group
think Telus
so
is not there either.
Okay, I'm going to have to watch them, man.
Yeah, Liverpool, Atalanta comes out of Group D.
I was glad about Atlanta because I like IX. Them. That was the iffy thing, Atlanta or IX, which one was going through.
I like Atlanta too, man. I'm interested to see how that the guy we is it another that's the other Dembele we got, right?
Yeah, that's yeah. Oh no. That's his name is Diallo.
Diallo. Okay, yeah, Diallo. Yeah, I'm interested to see how he's gonna work in.
It's like the only thing with that is I don't like that he hasn't been playing all fall. I guess it's because you know they don't own his rights, so they don't want to get injured, but you know, you just want to see him actually
get some playing time
out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, you got Chelsea, Sevilla in Group E that came out. Borussia Dortmund and Lazio in Group F. Group G, of course, we all knew that was going to be, but Juve and Barcelona.
Right.
And then Group H, PSG and Leipzig.
And that's the thing, man. Like, as far as, like, looking at those teams and I like to see PSG exercise their demons, or I like to see Juve solely because I am a huge Cristiano Ronaldo and also a
Pirlo. I don't think it's gonna happen, man. I think Juve is
gonna nah, Juve don't have enough, dog. They don't have enough.
Hey, look, man, it's Bayern.
Bayern's the favorite.
I was gonna say it's Bayern Munich's to lose here. Let's keep it real. It's Bayern Munich.
See anybody that could really match up against them?
No, dude. Bayern Munich's got literally.
Everything.
They're literally what Liverpool. I thought Liverpool was going to be.
You know what? That was just about to say. Like Liverpool were the only team that could match up with them.
But they don't have
Van Dijk, man.
No Van Dijk.
But even without Van Dijk, I think they still can. To be honest.
Because you know what? That transfer window is going to be real big for them because they're talking about getting Upamecano. That could be a great, great replacement for the time being.
I hope they do because that man. I really am upset at that goalie for that. That was.
Tomorrow, Pickford,
bro. God dang, bro.
I mean, and on the low, Atletico Madrid, man, depending on, because I think the most underrated young cat is Wild Felix, man. Like, that dude is
slick.
He's raw.
Similar position, not the same position. Who you taking out of him or Haaland, though? Haaland just got the award for, like, best young player or something.
Yeah,
like that.
I mean, I'm going to take Haaland more, but Haaland seemed like he stay injured, too, on the low.
Zao Felix is slick, dog.
I don't know why nobody ain't tried to get him on. I'm surprised Atletico bid him to keep him.
I think it's I'm trying to remember reading about this. I want to say that his release clause is high. So it's to trigger the conversation, you gotta pay a bunch of money type.
Oh, to even start the negotiation, you gotta put up the bread.
Well, I think that's what they mean by trigger clause.
Yeah, I think it's triggering like the saying like he's available for you to negotiate with.
Okay, all right.
But a lot of times, most times when you do that already, you've already negotiated with the agent before you even put up that bread. Like we did with Sancho.
Yeah.
We'd already negotiated. The contract was already floating out there what he was going to get.
And that's kind of, I think, what it was. Because I want to say, man, because like Upamecano had a it came up with him too. To where
right, we could have got him before. We could have got him. No, we could have got him before that. But of course, our front office is all Yankee doodle dandy. They could have got him for the low for like $20 mil or some low.
But they did an extension and they upped his release clause to where it was like $60 mil or something like that. So I think like the release clause is the minimum, but then the transfer fee might
on
be
on top
like,
of that.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I think it's applied to the transfer fee too. Though.
Right.
So like,
right. That's what I mean. Like they go together. Yeah.
Yeah, so
the transfer fee might be, if it was a $70 million transfer fee, maybe the release clause was like 50, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like something like that.
Okay. So like, we'll get back to EPL. So Champions League, I'm going Bayern, man. Let's hop around a little bit to what's
it's
going
gotta
on.
Be Bayern, unless injury, because you gotta look at it too. Like they just have too many pieces in the right places, or too many of the right pieces in the right places.
Yeah, so we're going to jump around. You know what? Let's go back to Champions League for a second, man. I want to jump into this racism thing, man, that happened in the PSG game real quick before we jump out of Champions League. That was a weird situation, man. Like,
bro,
so you basically – like, so I was trying to really figure out – I mean, I understand what happened, but I was trying to figure out why that was even – like – this conversation,
how it escalated so rapidly.
Yeah, like how did it go from this to this, you know? And I guess he was trying to give him a red card, give a the coach a red card.
Well, that part I don't know. As far as the card part, I don't. Did he end up getting a red or a yellow?
He was trying to give him a red, but they squashed it after all the drama. Because he came to the next game because they ended up giving him like a jersey, all kind of stuff or whatever. Like, I guess PSG.
Okay, I didn't watch the return game. Okay.
Yeah, PSG ended up giving him a jersey and all kind of stuff.
I think that was, man, I think that was pretty deep as far as on a human scale. I think it was a situation where like the world of sports, because the world of sports is usually protected from that kind of thing because it's a meritocracy. You know what I mean? So it's like,
if you good, you good. You gone. So and it sometimes shields us, especially as Black people or anybody of color, from racism or not thinking it's there because, oh, I built myself up because of this, right, but not knowing right. that outside of this meritocracy, like you said, is the rest of the game of life.
Right. So I think that was like, and at the same time, it's like, it also allows you, it'll shield you from that. It'll allow mm-hmm. you can get on that I'm OJ shit. And form deep partnerships with for real racists. Or, not mm-hmm. say racists, but deep partnerships with people who outside of this are explicitly out against you. You know what I mean? Like, or whatever. And you can team up with those people in these situations because it's sports. And yeah. I think like that was a situation where, so his mind's not in that defensive mindset of, you know, how you are in the rest of the world where you might hear something that can trigger. He wasn't in that space and he heard a reference from that. You know what I'm saying? Like that ref, that wasn't no sports mindset reference that he made. He used something from non-sports world.
And that's so interesting. There's so many different languages he would know that was a racial slur though, considering I believe he's French and other guys Romanian. I don't know many cats walking around that's knowing Romanian like that, but I guess when you play
the in sport, soccer, you know, it's like right.
But I'm saying within the sport, I definitely probably know all the racial slurs. You probably got it listed when you come in. Like, you get probably get a pamphlet if you're a Black player come in. Like, okay, these are all the racial slurs you're gonna hear for all the different countries. You don't have to learn all the languages, but if you hear this, you know what it is.
Because you got to think too, man. Like, and this is also just as for all our American viewers out there, just to give a shout out to y'all, man. This is like a thing where there's a solidarity that we as Black Americans as a whole, because I'm speaking generally, not individually, don't acknowledge and recognize, man. It's like, because that's not the American way. The American way is, you know what I'm saying, God bless America and nowhere mm-hmm. else. So we think very, you know, American-centric and egocentric, but man, this Blackness is all over the world, and the struggle is not unique. And it's actually, we are very fortunate in most ways in terms of the struggle, because like other countries is way worse as far as that same struggle. He's probably coming from a place where that's the case, where like that's a whole different way that they deal with that.
And then we already know that Neymar and Mbappe ain't about the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Like, Neymar already got into a fight, you know, I think it was against Marseille or whatever, and like because of racial slurs. So they ain't playing. And Mbappe, I heard Mbappe's a super down brother, I've heard though.
Yeah, because I heard that too, because he's so like close to his family and stuff.
Yeah, like they said Mbappe is like a regular, like a black dude though.
Kinda like Rashford. He's like
Rashford. He ain't copping. Like he's dating, like his girlfriend is the first Black Miss France from Miss Universe pageant. She's like, she's the first Black Miss France or something. Like, that's his girlfriend. Yeah, she bad. Yeah, she bad too. She's bad too.
No, they go have an Olympian, you know what I'm saying? but see, that's the thing too. Like, so you think of like Mbappe, Neymar, they're playing in Europe. Like this, man, this Danny Alves, like this was like what, I didn't know this happened. Like in all the years that I was watching in like, you know, 90s, whatever. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it was bad like that. Just thinking, like I'm saying, as an American, like they maybe have a better handle on that stuff there. No, So like,
well, like what, like what, and Christian Henry talks about all the time too, what he was going through.
What's his name?
Henry from
I didn't realize that, man. I didn't realize that. Like, it's like, the big thing there is world nigga law. It's like the big thing there is they'll do those monkey noises and
stuff throwing like bananas that on the field. Because what's homeboy from Bartello? Didn't they throw like bananas or something?
Yeah, yeah.
But he's a wild boy, though. Bro. I mean, I don't want you to, but he's a wild boy, though. I mean,
he is.
But you can't do that, though. Like,
but he catches it bad, though.
He's similar to Maradona on the low. If you want to talk about an updated without as much.
He's like a Maradona and a Zlatan mixed together. Yeah.
Right. But he's got a World Cup. He's got a World Cup, don't he?
They didn't win. Oh, you know what? He wasn't on that team.
He's on the team that won in penalty kicks. Did they lose? Did Italy lose that year?
I don't think he won. He wasn't on that team. No, he wasn't on that team. Oh, six.
But he's got a Europe trophy though, I think.
Yeah, he was on that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always say about him, because he catches a lot of criticism and flack, but people don't understand, like, in this same conversation, like, man, the pressure that you might be under when you are a Ghanaian, an ethnic, let me not say that because that's a nationality. So you're Ghanaian and you're, I don't know what tribe, but whatever ethnicity you are, you are a big black brother, and you get adopted by elderly Italian couple, and that's your parents, and that's who you're raised. You know, that's what you're raised in. So it's like, so for all your life,
he's kind of like, when any kid
was adopted, there's always like a chip on your shoulder because you're adopted,
and he's kind of lost in general because he's not involved with his culture at all. Like, he's kind of like
a lost obvious. Kid. It's yeah. obvious. Yeah. And they, like, I can't blend in and be like, oh, you know, well, you know, blah blah blah. Nah, it wasn't like their daughter slept with some brother and you're not remotely Italian. They just adopted you. We all know that. And he always heard that as a kid growing up, because he was always real talented with soccer. So he was always in big teams. You know what I mean? Like, so he's always heard this, oh, well, you're not really Italian. You know what I mean? Like,
I wonder why he didn't flip and maybe play for Ghana then or something. Cause that'd have been wrong, them Ghanaian teams back then, if he was on them.
But that's a good question as far as like,
if you was getting shunned so much.
But I'm not Ghanaian either. I'm not Ghanaian. So it's like, now I got to embrace something where I'm really, and that's a
and then deeper, you're fish out of water. They might be clowning you there too, though. Like, oh man, okay. I mean, you good in a thing, but I mean, you're not from Accra.
You're not one of us. Yeah. You're not one of us. And it's like, God dang. So he's in that space. So I understand.
He's damn near tragic mulatto. He's damn near tragic mulatto, but that's not light skin.
You know what I'm saying? Like, still stuck. He's just like, so just to talk about like the whole, you know, racism.
Yeah, but so what do you think FIFA and UEFA should do going forward? I mean, is there a situation where we need to have like a no tolerance policy on all this stuff?
Well, I think they're doing good. I think that first and foremost, I'll say that FIFA's policy for addressing racism is light years beyond any sports institution in America. So just to start from there, it's light years beyond it. And just for the sheer fact that it gets talked about, you know what I mean? So it's like, cause like that they say, the first step of solving any issue is you got to admit that there's an issue, and that doesn't happen in the US.
Right.
At least FIFA will admit it. So, you know what I'm saying?
Like, well, MLS is starting to get on it a little bit on the low.
But they're connected to FIFA.
That's true. Right. You know, cause they got that Salt Lake City owner about the paint. He got to talking crazy. They was gone. They was like, new ownership.
FIFA doesn't. Nah, man. It's too much money out here, and it's too much.
And do they see? And FIFA probably sees how much money potentially is in the U.S., particularly with ethnic players as well.
Nah, we not about to trick out that change, dog. Are you? Nah, you better nah.
You go. I don't know how y'all
find another you. We can't find another million people. You know what I mean? So we can find another owner.
right,
is how they look at it. So
yeah,
and that's
so,
true.
I mean, so has he already been reprimanded, this ref?
I don't know. I didn't look up on his punishment, but I think it should be something, because I think there is some, they say, well, you know, there's smoke, there's fire, whatever. So, but there's also people that could, that use this to say how, you know, that might be playing the race card or race bait and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, because
well.
I mean, because we talk about what happened with Cavani as well, with Manchester United player Cavani as well. He was using something, I guess, and talking to his friend online, and he was using the term of just saying somebody black or whatever. But I guess within the translation, they saying, and I'm not sure. I'm just going off what some people are saying. The translation is just like saying like, "Oh, that black dude," but it can be conjectured as saying like a racial slur. You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
You know, converted over.
This was something recent, or this was back in
No, this has happened. They was trying to suspend Cavani for 3 games like a week or two ago. You didn't see that?
Oh, snap. I didn't see
right
that.
After because... he got the goal. It was right after the West what game did he have 2 goals? It wasn't West after the Southampton game.
The one they came back in.
Yep, when he got the 2 goals, he got the header.
Was it West Ham?
Yeah, because he got the assist.
Was it Southampton?
Yeah, Southampton. The assist and the 2 goals he got.
This is what I'll say about that real quick. And this is just, this is from speaking with a Uruguayan, which ended up prompting me to look up some history. Because it was, it actually ironically related to soccer, but, you know, looked up some stuff about non-soccer as well because of that. Because we were talking about Uruguay and Brazil and like mm-hmm. their soccer rivalry. Because he was obviously a Uruguay fan.
Yeah.
And he was bringing up when 1950, you'll hear about this if like when you get into soccer history, the what they call it, the disaster Americana or something like that. But basically, Brazil was supposed to win, and it was like just kind of like with 2014. And they mentioned it. They mentioned it in 2014 a lot, but they lost to Uruguay in the World Cup final at home.
Oh, Brazil like a lost huge it at upset. Home.
Yeah, so it was like a huge upset, and that's actually. Just as a sidebar for people as well, that's actually what led to Brazil making huge changes in their system of how they played, which 2 World Cups later, that's when it was the World Cup where Pele was.
Pele 8 years later.
Yeah, it had big, because it was like a huge, like broken heart type loss type thing. You know what I'm saying? They were supposed to win, blah, blah, blah. But looking it up, come to find out, like coming back to this conversation, mm-hmm. Like what I didn't know is that Uruguay had a lot of like black players. So I'm like looking mm-hmm. like black and brown, like black mm-hmm. and brown players.
And Argentina has none, which is a different conversation.
Huge, yes. About,
because there was a lot of black people in Argentina before. People don't understand during their civil war, they put all the black people in the front line. So that's why there's no black Argentinians. So just because there was a gang of black people there before.
Yeah, we'll double back on that.
That's another deep shit right there.
When we talk about the Brazil Argentina soccer rivalry, that'll be a good time to double back.
Yeah, and
back
you got
to
even get it deeper on Argentina side. Basically, Argentina is it basically the white of South America?
Right.
Messi. You don't look at Messi. If you just saw Messi walk on the street, be like, oh, he's Spanish. You wouldn't think he's no Argentinian or South American in general.
Exactly.
What was the dude with the long hair from Argentina? Was it Batista?
Batistuta, yeah,
Batistuta,
and Crespo, but all of those cats.
That's what I'm saying. Come on, man, he wasn't. If I told you from Denmark,
for real?
You'd be like, he's from Denmark.
Exactly. But that's what I said.
He looked like a Danish player with the headband and everything. That's, like, you know, Danish players wear them with some headbands. That's what Paul sent me on. Paul sent that girl's hair out because he had to get the headband. All them cats got headbands on the Danish team.
Paulson was like, man, I gotta let y'all know what time it is with me, bro. He just like Van Dyke. That's why Van Dyke got that ponytail. Like, nah.
Yeah.
He like TJ Hospensada. He's like, yep. I gotta let y'all know I got Indian in my family.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not with these other Dutch cats. No.
Nope.
Nah, I ain't like that.
No, but going to Uruguay, they know, man.
No, but just saying, like, with Argentina, they had a very different way of. But it's to back up. So that's kind of a thing too. It's like, I'm glad you said the thing with Argentina because I didn't realize like growing up, as far as like when I was getting that, it's like that solidarity thing with blackness, I didn't realize every South American country had
slaves.
imported African slaves. Mm-hmm. So, because I just thought, you know, Brazil, obviously, I always knew that. Well, okay, obviously, Colombia did, Venezuela.
And then you got to the, like, you know, up in Curacao, stuff like that.
And
a couple other
ones maybe sprinkled in. But no, all of them did, Uruguay included, but they treated it a little differently than Argentina did. It wasn't such a let's get rid of them thing. It's just, let's just integrate it all into the thing. So, like, fast forward to with Cavani, because I heard something similar about their culture as well, like reading about the same thing, to where Uruguay is a little different, to where they kind of accept it, but it's still optically to where they'll say, have a word for it, you know what I mean? So, yeah. But it's not that oppressive, whatever.
But it is when you come out the rest of the world. You go, it's like, you kind of get caught. But not even to bump against Cavani, he should know that's not, he's been playing in Europe for, you know, since he's 35 years old. He should have known you can't be sending out, especially on those social media. Like,
particularly, you've been playing in France. And so, like,
that's what I'm saying.
Talking about a second ago, man, like, and we see how, like, a high button issue that is in France because of the dynamics of that league, man. Yeah. Like, whoa.
Yeah, man. So let's hop around a couple of the different leagues, man. La Liga. I think this league is the worst I've ever seen La Liga in about 40 years, I think, or something crazy. This league is horrible.
It's star depraved. This is what it looks like when it's star depraved, right? So, like, we don't have... So I guess, like, just like off the top of my head, man, like, the biggest star is in La Liga is Messi still?
Is Messi.
But who's next? Who's next after him? João Felix? Sergio Ramos?
But nobody knows who João Felix... I don't think they have... Like, okay, there's different levels. I know there's levels to soccer. Like... Benzema, I guess. No, it's probably Suarez. It's Suarez. He's the biggest name. The second biggest name.
That's why I'm like, who were after Messi? Who was
it's Suarez.
Wow, okay.
Even though Suarez is older, and you know what I'm saying, but he's the second name not necessarily a casual soccer player, because there's only
you're right, though. That's what I'm like. That's
the only... like, if you're like a little bit above casual, you hear Suarez, you'll know who he is.
Yeah.
The only real cats know about Wild Felix, though. Like, Wild Felix is on the come up. Because
he's like 19.
19. That's what I'm saying. You don't know about him, but you know Suarez. He's 35.
That's real, though. And so, like, defenders never really get pub like that. And you only know two of them. You know what I'm saying? You can only name Varane and Ramos.
And you know what? Who's the third number one known player? Oblak, to me, from Atletico Madrid. He's the best goaltender in the world right now.
Okay. All right. But that's not going to be a fan.
That's not a fan name, though. That's just us going off.
Cats that's, you know, playing FIFA and playing Pro Evolution Soccer. Yeah, okay.
But then you look at it, even Real Madrid, I don't even, like, they got a whole bunch of sevens. Like, they got a whole bunch of, like low, they got a whole bunch of low spades. They got a whole bunch. It's got, like, they get in the spades hand, you got 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. They all spades. But you're going to be able to really win a game with them? Like, you're going to...
Matter of fact, not just Luka Modric. I ain't gonna do that, man, like that. Their midfield pairing is still Modric and Toni Kroos, man. It's still, this is 2020.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
They won the league in what, like 2012?
That's what I'm saying. My thing is, people always got Real Madrid trying to get everybody. They may be in a similar situation than we were 5, 6 years ago.
If not worse. Because you gotta look at it. Who do they have on deck? But the expectation and the assumption is that they got somebody.
Or they got the quote unquote academy. We don't know
who they got. Nothing on deck though, bro.
Nothing.
They have less on deck than we can say that.
I think they have less on deck. A downfall. Even though Real Madrid just beat Atletico this past week and it kind of pushed Atletico back though to potentially win this league. I think Atletico still wins La Liga
this year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I think Barcelona is falling off. And Real Madrid, look at their play in Champions League.
Barcelona, they've fallen off, but I'm not gonna. I have said some
when Messi
disparaging
gone, it's
things,
over. Because Fatih is hurt. Fatih getting hurt like the end of their season to me.
Oh, he's
out for the season.
Prone?
He's out. No, he's out for the season. He tore an Achilles. He's out for the season.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, that was when I was like, oh, their season's over, because he's 17 and he was like, that was somebody Messi could, I feel that he could have built with and been like, I want to stay.
They were depending on him. Right. He was 17.
And they were depending on him. That's where Barcelona is at right now. Real Madrid is hoping
the Griezmann thing didn't work out. The Griezmann
thing hurt him bad. What else? What you call it? De Jong.
But he's doing good.
No. Who's the other dude they just traded to?
Coutinho.
Coutinho. And no. What you call it too? Didn't they just trade? They flopped with y'all for him.
Nah, that was Semedo.
No, but they just flip-flop with y'all for two players. Who did y'all flip-flop with them on? They got Rabio, and then who did y'all take from them?
That was Juve. That was Pjanic. They got Pjanic.
Pjanic.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
But he's old though. He's soccer. Advanced.
Yeah, hold on.
Advanced because he's like 30 even or 32.
Yeah.
Right. I like his style, but he's not the answer, right? Sergio Busquets.
No, not at all.
Man, Busquets is. He's holding on.
It's not Pique. It's Arthur. That's who y'all flip flop with.
That's who they signed
and they thought was going to be the truth for him was Arthur.
I got you.
I just looked it up because y'all flipped Rabiot for him, Rebic. Right? For Arthur, because y'all got Arthur.
Rabiot. That was Juve. We got Arthur. Juve got Rabiot, and Barcelona got Arthur.
But Arthur was supposed to be the truth for him, though. And he's
not playing well?
No, he's on y'all team now.
Arthur Melo or something?
No, y'all Arthur traded. Mello? Y'all got Arthur now.
Y'all he's traded. Not playing for us. He's
that's
not
that's my point.
Oh, I see.
That's my point. And Messi, to a certain extent, he probably got the LeBron treatment. Like how Cleveland was like, no, we're finna get some players to trust us. Because he probably saw this 2 or 3 years from now and saw this as potentially coming down the road.
Well, he should have seen it coming down the road when it was, you know.
When Suarez was getting older. Vidal was
when nobody came in younger than him. So, okay. So this was like,
I mean, I think the Griezmann thing, prime, he probably thought the Griezmann thing was going to go better, though, too.
Yeah. Everybody did.
Yeah. I mean, we wanted Griezmann.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody thought that was going to go better. It's, I don't know. I haven't watched enough of those games because La Liga is hard to watch here.
Yeah.
I haven't watched enough of the games to figure out why it's not working because he's a good player.
I mean, they're out
here. He was great with Atletico Madrid. I think his style.
They're losing to Catalonia and stuff, man. Barcelona's out of losing to Catalonia. I think there is a scenario where Barcelona won't make Champions League. They're in seventh place right now.
Yeah, they're like a six. Because last I looked, they were in sixth place.
Yeah, they're in seventh place right now.
They just lost this.
Yeah. They're in seventh place right now, dog. What world do we live in? Only 2020 would have a situation where Barcelona would not qualify for Champions League.
I don't want to give them that kind of vote of confidence, though, because I think it's kind of contingent on what happens in this winter transfer window, too. Because let's say that they don't do anything.
How much money is going to be spent, though, Double D? That's my question. Is like everybody's always saying Barcelona is just a player or two away in the transfer window. Real Madrid is a player.
They got to sell people, yeah.
That's what, or who's really gonna be able to buy?
Yeah, I mean, but they don't have. That's the thing is they don't have bottomless pockets, I guess. But they need to be purchasing somebody.
And then if you look even long term, if they're doing this Super League thing, why are some of these other teams like a Borussia Dortmund going to sell a Haaland now? If we know that they're looking forward to a super team in a Super League in 3 to 4 years, why am I going to sell Haaland? If I know that this is coming down the pike and I want to be one of those 16 teams in the Super League.
And that's kind of why too, right? I really am against that league because that.
I want to see it.
That would have such damaging effects.
But do you know how big like they'll be able to promote that worldwide?
I'm not going to say damaging. It's going to evolve
It'll be able to be worldwide, man. Because they'll be able to put that on the road and put a couple of games at the Soldier Field. They'll have a couple of games on the road. They'll be able to target that worldwide.
I get it won't be terrible, but it will
like
change.
Brandon said, don't get it twisted. If you see a Chinese team throw a bag out there to be one of the top 16 teams,
I think as far as in favor of it, I think that what just has happened with COVID-19 has exposed that. If I own a team, I'm pushing for it, you know what I mean? Because I don't want stadium revenue. I want TV money is what I want. Give me TV and video game
money.
Money. Reason I say that too is because I think I forwarded it to you. AC Milan signed that exclusive deal with EA to where
Yeah, but like, you know, before they didn't, you know, Juve is the only team that is not exclusively to FIFA.
You know,
Juve is on there. All the players are, but they have to use Piemont Calico is a team.
That's why they do that. Okay, all right.
So they it's like with Soccer Revolution or whatever it is. I think it's maybe Konami or something. They had their Juve is they got a licensing over there with Juve.
Oh, so that's okay. They can use it. Okay, I got it.
And AC Milan was over there with them too before. So
and then like, they broke that and went over. We go do.
And get that money.
That's smart to me, bro. But what that is, that's those Italian teams trying to catch up with those English teams that have left them in the dust. You know what I'm saying?
But then why is Juve sitting so hard on this deal with the Konami thing then?
Because it's still a deal. Because they.
You think they just wait until the deal's over? Like, just let's get our check and then we'll be there in a minute.
They don't have a deal like those EPL teams have with Sky Sports. Like y'all was pointing out, man, that Sky Sports deal
NBC Sports where you on mainstream in the morning, daytime in the US.
That's how those EPL teams are making bank because of that Sky Sports deal. Because Sky Sports is a British conglomerate.
Yeah. So you know they charge $5 a game over there for like some games over there to watch. $5 a game.
That's what
people
I'm saying.
Paying it.
And the teams are getting like a large part of their revenue, I'm imagining. So that's
we can jump into English Premier League and talk
about it.
They're
trying to rival that. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
so that's why they do
that. A little bit. You know that they're I think they're dumping. I forgot which cup. Is it Emirates Cup or I forgot which cup they're dumping? They're dumping a cup,
like Caribou Cup or something like that.
Well, I think it may be Caribou. Which one of the cups are getting?
I didn't even understand what that was. You know?
Yeah,
I mean?
They're like, dumping one of them.
All you need is the FA Cup,
right? Know, they're dumping one of them, and then they're also, but then to appease the lower tier. Because that was their chance to gain revenue from ticket sales, from people from Manchester United coming to play at Coventry City or something like that. What they're doing is they're giving them some of the TV revenue down. But this is the trick bag for them is they only get, I think, two teams to go up now or something.
So fewer teams and promotion, but we got to pick y'all some change.
And they're doing, I believe, the playoff system. Similar for the bottom part of EPL, like Germany does. So the last four teams have to have a small mini tournament, how the English Champions League does for the four. So you know, in English Champions League, the top two automatically go up.
That's exciting. I like that.
And then the bottom, the three through six have a four team tournament. They're gonna do that for the bottom four teams. In EPL for the last one spot to stay up.
Okay, I like that though. I ain't gonna lie, bro.
That's
kind of teases a little bit. It teases a little bit for those. Only reason I say that is because we were talking about that though, because it happened to be on like after that Man U game. They had that. I forgot the other team, Bournemouth. I happened to catch that Bournemouth game, man. Watching them lose that, because they were getting relegated, right? Watching them lose that was because
it was heartbreaking
because
it was all kind of people.
And you usually don't see it because it's usually fans and it's so they cut away from all of that stuff. And like you said, it was heartbreaking. It was like, oh man, because it really hits you like, dang, bro, like this really hits these players to where
your check is going to get cut too.
Like, hey, your life has changed because. It's like you literally don't know where you will be playing next year now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know because you might have to leave, you know, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. So that was heavy. So if you're going to do that, like have the playoff system.
Yep.
Go ahead and make it eight teams then. You know what I mean? Like, so go ahead and just throw the bottom four and the top four. And so it is no automatic if you want to do it like that.
Oh, you, so you're saying, so you're saying if you're in the bottom four from the champion, the English Champions League,
the Premier,
and then in the EPL, four, the bottom four versus their top four, right, in an 18 tournament.
Do that. That'd be, you know, I tune into that.
Yeah, that'd be, oh man, that'd be crazy. I just wonder if, though, because that's what Germany does, though, I think.
Oh, something similar?
Yeah, Germany does that for promote, like, so you can be at the, so say for this, you place last, like Cologne or something, and you place last in Germany, you have a chance to play in a tournament against the top two or three, I forgot how many, whatever teams from the bottom one to stay up in the regulation.
Okay, okay.
So they do that already. It's a playoff in Germany already does that.
I think they should do that because I think it also, because it's a double-edged thing too, because you got to look at it like those teams, like when you're at the bottom of the EPL and you're battling relegation. So let's say like you came in third to last, right? So yeah, I avoided relegation, but it's like at that same token, I didn't qualify for any tournaments.
I didn't even go far and win the cups. We just here. We Crystal Palace. Like we just here.
That does give them something to where, even though it's kind of is dubious because you know you lose, you're gonna.
Yeah, like it could be detrimental at the same time.
But you still get a couple more games. I'm thinking for as a franchise.
Well, even on top of that, think about how much you may generate maybe revenue even that you wouldn't have had. Think about it, you might be playing even more not to be in that bottom. But before, you just like, I just don't want to be in the bottom three. Now you like, I'm trying to battle not to be in that bottom four or five to have to go into this tournament.
No.
Because like if you're in that bottom, if you're fourth from last and you're safe by 7 points, you kind of put on cruise control and you like, we cool. But if you're in that fourth spot and it's 3 points ahead of you, now you like, hey, we got to go out here and beat Leeds United this week. Like, we need to
I know we got like Man City and Liverpool, but bro, we got to tie.
We got to do this.
And then you got that strategy where you got like eight people in front of the goal all games. Yep. Like, y'all not scoring.
Look here, we don't care if we score, but y'all ain't scoring. So, what do you think about the league this year, though, man? Like, what do you think about the league, English Premier League this year overall?
I think it's exciting. I think this is one of the I think this is showing, unfortunately, as a Man United fan, this is kind of foreshadowing on what the future of the league is heading towards, as far as like it's at that, it's a good thing, but it's at that that parity level right now, to where
you can go get popped by anybody any day now, almost.
You're gonna start seeing that, because not even talking about like who is on top right now, but just talking about teams like Wolves, like Southampton, like
West Ham is in fourth or fifth right now.
Bruh, like, and they're cold. Like, you know, that they're not, it's not like losing to them. If you're Chelsea, if you're Liverpool, if you're Man City, losing to those teams is not a fluke. You feel what I'm saying? Like, it's not.
And it's not a scar. Like, it's much like, man, even though in your mind still as a fan, it's just like now with our team, Iowa State, like people are like, damn, man, we lost. But it's like, if you look at the team, it's not. You stupid to think that you're just going off of just name his historical history on it,
right?
Not what they are
the
right now.
The reality is the X's and O's as far as what's on the field is like they're killing some, you know, they're executing.
Like Leeds is another one that's been balling. You know, they out.
I was thinking about them. We're talking about their relegation thing. I saw that game when they won, but it was no fans to really cheer the victory when they got promoted, and that was unfortunate.
Was that the one with that long, or was that West Ham, where that dude had the free kick from like damn near midfield.
That must have been the West Brom game.
Because that's the same dude that got the free kick on us. I think that's the same dude that got the free kick on us when we played West Brom. When he had that, that's the dude that got the one. I'm talking about, that was a beautiful one, like from damn near half the. Because he was a defender.
I can't think of his name right now.
Yeah, because everybody's always saying, like, if West Brom go down, he's going to be up regardless of what.
That's the dude I want Man United to get.
But that's the dude that got that free kick though. The one I'm talking about, that was from like midfield. That was him. He's the best free kicker in the league right now, I believe, like accuracy wise.
Is that the dude you talk about, Rice? Declan Rice?
No. This one, West Brom.
Oh, West Brom. Okay.
Yeah, that's the dude that got the free kick on us.
I'm gonna look his name up because I don't
know
his
name.
Yeah,
he's the one that got the free kick on us when they went up 2-0 before we came back. And then he got that one that was from damn near, that was the one I was like number one on.
Yeah.
And they didn't end up getting the goal to because they scored again, and then it was like he got another goal to clinch it for him.
Yeah, and he's a defender. In this
he's
one.
A defender.
That's
too.
What's so crazy, man. But that's like that's. I think that's
he
also
was on a breakaway
like
on his goal too. On the next goal, he was on a breakaway.
So he's.
I don't know how he
long.
Was up
yeah,
there.
Yeah, he's not gonna be there long, man. Unless he's. Yeah, somebody will scoop him up, a bigger team.
That's what they were saying on the telecast.
I'm look up his name though. So, is he English too?
That's what I'm looking him up now, man. Let me see.
Because I'm like, yeah, he's not going to stay there long at all.
That's what I'm trying to see. I'm trying to look him up now.
But yeah, and why are you looking that up, man? I just think that the EPL looks good. I think that.
Matias Pereira.
Pereira.
Matias Pereira is him, man. That's the it was.
Country is he from?
Oh, and they were down a man too, man. That was the crazy part. I'm looking at the thing here; they were down to 10 men. Oh no! It's two dudes that do free kicks well. I think you tell me. No. It's right. It is Pereira. I was thinking it was Int, but no, it's Pereira. It's Pereira.
Oh, this guy. Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, he did that little chip. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that
he's Brazilian.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think this year in league, man, we're not going to really be able to tell anything this year until March.
I think that that's what I'm saying. I think that it's a situation where can Spurs go wire to wire when not wire to wire because they weren't first place from the get-go, but mm-hmm. I don't think that they're going to hold on to. If I had to guess any team, not named Man United, that mm-hmm. that legitimately showed a threat to be standing at the top of the end, it'd be Chelsea, man. Like I feel
Chelsea
like
good, man.
The manner in which...
And really, the issue was their goalkeeping with Kepa. And they got Mendy, and he's been up to this last game. I think he had like five in a row. Sheets in a row.
It's the fact that everything. So okay, so looking at their team last year, like the issues were, hey man, our defense is shaky, right? Mm-hmm. So that was like the thing. So all of their offseason signings addressed it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like so, it's like. You had a shaky defense, so you got Thiago Silva on that free transfer, and that's working out. So that's making a big difference. You got Mendy, like you said, who's making a big difference because he has been starting again. You got Kepa out of there, and Conte is not. He got back from injury because I think he was hurt last year.
He was hurt. Yep.
So, and you look at those three things, and that's all they did. Technically, because they did some other stuff around that, but that's all I really needed to do.
And then you got to think about it. They still trying to offload Kepa. That's money they're going to be able to spend to again in a minute because as soon as they can get rid of him.
Yeah, ain't nobody go, I'm going to say that. Let me not say that. Somebody's going to buy him. Yeah, somebody's going to buy him.
Somebody's going to buy him.
I think that the Timo Werner, that purchase, everybody knew that was going to work out well, and that obviously is. And
Havertz
is working out, I feel like,
but he's had some bad games. Havertz has had some bad games though. But I mean,
I think talking about Chelsea as far as like let's compare that situation to Man United. I think Havertz is in a similar fit in situation that Paul Pogba might be in because
Van de Beek two, a little bit like Van de Beek two.
Yeah. I would agree with that as well. To where I don't know if they really fit in because that's kind of what's going on with Havertz. Because like you look at Havertz and what they – because we got Ziyech, he fits in. Werner fits in. And we got to either have Abraham or Giroud in.
And Pulisic.
Mason Mount is balling this season.
Yep. Got Pulisic. So, he's coming back.
You know, where are you going to fit in? Like, and that he's having a tough time. It's like because his – strengths in his role that he usually does, he can't really do because that's not what they need. You know what I'm saying? Like, kind of
I
like
wonder if he I wonder if he regrets going to Chelsea now on a low and just staying at Leverkusen another year and maybe going somewhere else.
Man, you know what? With that in mind, bro, if he thought something like that, or like he and his agent, whatever, like I could have seen a situation where him going to Real Madrid next season
really
would have been that would have been
like if he stayed at Liverpool,
right? Like doing what you just said and going to Real Madrid next year. I could see how that would have worked out really well for him, because based on the makeup of that team, because you're looking at, you know, Toni Kroos, Modric are both older. Isco, I was hearing some whispers that there's, because he's like, you know, 29, 30.
Yeah, you got Ramos is older. Benzema is older.
Isco's talking about he was trying to leave, you know, not leave, but he was like, he's not feeling loved over there. So it's like people that play in that spot, Havertz plays about to be out of there. So that's why I'm like, had he listened to you, he would have been in a good situation.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I mean, it was good for Chelsea, you know, the way they had it like that. So we got two more leagues to cover, man. Let's go to we're going to jump on over to your league. You know a lot about Serie A.
Man, Serie A, bro. I'm happy so far. In addition to Man United, I'm also a AC Milan fan. They're holding on. Today, bro, it was a tripped out game. Like, so today they played, they ended up tying 2-2 to Parma. Close game, bro. It was like because they were losing 1-0, and I think they were 2-0 down at one point and had to come back to tie it. They ended up hitting the crossbar twice and one other crazy miss. It was like, God, man, just please give us this goal. So they finally pulled it out then, because like the second goal came at like 80-something, 90th minute. Like, it came real late in the game. Yeah, very – and they needed it to stay on top. So they're still first place.
Is Milan one in the league right now, or is it Juve at number one?
They're still holding on to one. Zlatan is hurt, though. So, right? Wow. So like, that's kind of hurting them. And so he's injured. They're still one. Sassuolo is actually right behind them. I forget like the placement after that, but it's pretty tight up top.
Yeah, it's gotta be, because
Atlanta is still doing good. Lazio's doing well. Juve is not playing bad, so they're up toward the top. They're just not number one right now.
Right,
so,
and then you got still got Inter Milan, Napoli.
Inter, Napoli, man, they look good as far as like switching to Europa real fast. So we're talking about Serie A. I can see them really being a threat in Europa.
In Europa.
Yeah, they're a pretty strong team, man. They're pretty strong.
Yeah, because they have Insigne, right?
Right, and it's that guy Osimhen. He's playing well. Matter of fact, they were beefing as far as this guy and the manager Lozano.
Oh wow!
But Lozano's playing well, so they have a lot of pieces there.
And then they have Koulibaly still too, right?
Koulibaly and Manola. So
yeah,
both of them are mobile. So they're not, you know, saying like 6'7", 6'5", nothing like that. But they're both tall enough and can move. So I guess they hold up well when playing the other teams in Europe. They play pretty well, and they can score some goals. So it's Gattuso's the manager. So they got like that similar Atletico Madrid, like, you know, aggressive, tenacious defensive style. So they play from that type of mindset. So it's a good team, and I can see them going a long way.
Yeah, and finally we'll go to the Bayern Munich League, or it's also called the German Bundesliga, but I call it the Bayern Munich Invitational.
That's how it is. I mean, especially now, bro. Once Haaland got hurt, let me just say that.
With BBB starting, he's not coming back. BBB
starting slow, but they started slow. That wasn't him being hurt. They just started slow.
I mean, there's nobody going to beat Bayern. Bayern hasn't lost the Bundesliga. They've lost one. They lost it one time, and I think in the last 20 years or something crazy.
Going into the season, I want to say that Dortmund was the only preseason hope to beat Bayern. I think that was like the legitimately preseason writing. You know what I'm saying? I think
they're in third or fourth.
Leipzig was, once they lost Werner, Leipzig no longer was considered a legit contender. I think Werder Bremen might kind of Not them. Schalke. I think maybe it's Schalke that kind of might be considered another.
No, it's Mönchengladbach. It's Mönchengladbach.
Oh, okay. They consider it contender, but it's the Bayern Munich league, man. We know what it is.
And real talk, man. Are they? And you know, getting towards the wrap up here. Are they the most complete team in soccer history on the low?
The most complete team now of this generation. Not history.
No. I'm not talking about, I would say the last 10 years.
Man, I don't even know if I can give them that because we've had some pretty good teams.
I mean, they can run like 50 people at you, man. They got like 50 cats, man.
They are definitely close. I don't want to sell them short because
They're deep in those positions.
Every
too.
Position.
So if Lewandowski goes down, that's fine. Mueller's stepping up.
It's unprecedented as far as to be able to have.
Mueller goes down, Narby stepping up. Like, okay.
You know a big thing with it too, because shout out to Jalen Rose.
Mm-hmm.
This is a real thing that he said. Like me and this cat, friend of mine, Eddie Lanier, that played basketball as well. We were rapping about this different sport, yes. But we were just talking like what Jalen was saying was like that. Those positions in basketball don't exist. Those positions are created to help people that don't know the game follow it. And I think that's true. You know what I'm saying? That's true. Like not talking about basketball too deeply, but so when people are talking about like that point guard needs to be able to set this, blah, 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 blah. Well, not really. You don't really need that particular person to do it. You just need somebody to trigger the offense is what you're trying to get at. So whatever. And I think like that's with every sport to where you have these roles that you need, right? To be successful in soccer. And it's like how well can I get these roles filled? And you look, talking about what you're saying, like you look at Bayern and they have the roles you need. They have the depth at all of those positions the people that are prototypical for it.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't just have people that can do it. You have people that are special, like they're in, that's their role.
And they get hurt. Somebody's literally sliding right into the slot.
I'm not out of position. I'm not trying to do something I'm not, you know what I'm saying, good at. This is what I do. And I think a big thing with them, though, that hurts them is Kimmich getting hurt, but hopefully he gets back.
Mm.
I like him a lot because I like that position.
Yeah.
I was a more offensive minded player, but I like that central defensive midfielder, but that's an extremely potent position. For winning soccer, like that position.
And that's why Manchester United has issues.
Yeah, but I don't mind talking about that at all because I think that's like, and I could be quick with it to not even eat up that much time, man. Like I look at Kimmich talking about Bayern Munich and what he can bring to the table. And I look at we as Man United do not have a single player like that. So he's one person that can do all that stuff, man. Like, so you look at Fred, McTominay and Matic, all three individually pretty good players. If I could just somehow take all three of them and form into one person, you get somebody like Kimmich. You know what I mean? Like that's what he is. So that's what Man United needs. That's what Casemiro is. That's what Rodri is. That's what. And that's not an easy position to play. It's not an easy role because you have to be real. You have to have a high IQ for the game to play it. So
yeah, no, you definitely do. And it's
pretty tough. Witzel is a good one. I like Witzel a lot.
Oh, Witzel, yeah. Rodri, I like Rodri a lot, man. He's good. Conte too, man.
Yeah, because you look at what that allows those teams to do, bro. So you say, look at Chelsea. So that's what I have been wanting Man United to look like for the longest. So you put Kante out there. So now all of a sudden, because he just sits in that deep middle right in front of the center backs. So now you got Mason Mount, and a lot of times they got Kovacic running with him. So now they can just run loose all throughout the field.
Because it's locked down. So,
yeah. They never look like, it's never like, oh, look at that break because Mason Mount was out of position playing too much offense, right? But if you look at, you know, look at Man United, and they'll say that stuff about a similar thing about Pogba, because the makeup of the team really isn't conducive to recovery. We're not a good recovery type team.
Well, man, Double D, where can they hit you at up online, man?
Yeah, man. Best places, both at Instagram and Twitter, Sefu Benu, same name for both of them. Hit me up, man. Drop me a line. We have some YouTube content.
Yeah.
Possible as well. It'll be.
But, do you know you have the channel name already and everything?
I don't have a link to send right now.
Okay. We'll get it out there to people when you get it going running and everything. Man, thank you, man, for coming on and filling in for us, bro. There's people gonna really love this and appreciate this, man. And
man, look forward to it every time. And hopefully next time we can get to that MLS list.
Yeah. You know what? We'll bring you back on when Brandon gets settled down, because he also wants to rain dance for his Chelsea boys, you know, and just
already ready. You know, and it's funny too, because I thought he was gonna be on this one. I was like, all right, let me just go ahead and get my skin out thinking.
Did you see the tweets he was sending me, man? Like when we lost to Leipzig.
Oh man, God.
No mercy at all, man. It's like, come on, man. I was like, come on, man. After this COVID's over, man, we gotta go some games over all together, man.
That's my goal. We wanted to do that this year.
We're gonna try to do it this year, but we'll see for next year.
Probably, we'll have to turn it into like a little vlog type thing, and you know,
just jump on it in. Stay for a week, you know what I'm saying, and kind of pop around and, you know, hope maybe if it's Champions League time, you get a Tuesday game somewhere, then go get a Saturday and a Sunday game and then come back.
Right. And hopefully, like you said, the pandemic erases so we can get around
the... Yeah, you see New Zealand is, they good. They got zero COVID cases now.
Oh, okay. So we're turning the corner. So it's
they ain't letting nobody in their country either, though. So
Nah.
They literally didn't...
We turned the corner is what they said.
Right. We did. We don't know about y'all, but we turned the corner. Well, man, thank y'all for listening as always, man. Hey, like this is like email us, strictolc@gmail.com, SOLC Network. We're going to be having a whole bunch of different stuff going on. Some dope guests coming up soon from the St. Louis Football Club that's coming up. So it's going to be good, y'all. Thank y'all for listening.
Right on, man. Take care. Peace and blessings.